Good morning, Alan. How are you, pal?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm good. Did you get the family together for Thanksgiving this year? Were you able to get everybody in one room?
You know, our family is spread out, and we got part of our family together. And it was interesting. It was a four-person Thanksgiving table, which it allows for more communication than a 12 or 15-person table. It was an interesting switch.
It's good to see us kind of hopefully on the other end of this COVID stuff. I know that everybody's been locked down and it's been harder and harder to communicate. And you have a podcast that talks about communicating, and you've been doing a fantastic job with this Clear and Vivid podcast, learning to connect better, communicating and relating. You just recently had a conversation with Max Brooks. I listened to the interview. I found it interesting. You actually have known him since he was a toddler, and he said that you're one of his mentors. So what an interesting conversation you had with the great Max Brooks.
Yeah, he's a remarkable guy. The son of Mel Brooks, the son also of Anne Bancroft, and took the best of both of them. He's sharp-witted, smart, and is interested in helping out, doing good. You know, I really admire this kid. I'm surprised at some of the things I said to him along the way he regarded as mentorship, because I wasn't aware who was mentoring him. I was just being a pal.
One of the topics I found interesting that you had talked to Max about was when he said he was dealing with his fears, he would study them. And I thought, wow, what the quite deep thinker that Max is. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too. And he says he learned it from his mom, who, I guess, she also had this tendency to face things head on. Mel Brooks, who's on the podcast starting tomorrow, has a way of turning things sideways. He faces them, but he faces them in a more satirical way, where he turns it into something else and lets us laugh at it. But the things we laugh at, when you think about it, the things that Mel has us laughing at throughout his career are often despicable behaviors on the character's parts. But he wants to laugh the badness out of existence, I think. And it's a very interesting, different appeal. Max got two different versions of how to cope with reality and uncertainty.
Another fascinating subject I thought you guys discussed was his involvement in the Modern War Institute at West Point. I mean, that's a pretty big job to be sitting in there having those discussions with CIA members and high-ranking officials in our military.
I know. It's surprising, because he got their attention by writing about zombies. And the obvious joke that comes up when you hear that is, but the Modern War Institute doesn't think we're going to be attacked by zombies, do they? And of course they don't, but they want to explore ways we haven't been threatened yet. How can we cope with those ways? And what Max did in his World War Z story was imagine all of the secondary effects that you have when you're attacked by these imaginary zombies. How does it affect the supply chain? How does it affect the availability of food and that kind of thing? And you have to be prepared for unexpected events like that as time goes on and weapons change. Max is interested in cyber warfare, because that wasn't possible a quarter of a century ago, and now it's on the horizon. So to their credit, the people at the Modern Warfare Institute are trying to be a step ahead of the next attack. And so they're talking to people like Max.
When you played Hawkeye the War Surgeon during the Korean War, and you were playing that character, I mean, who would have thought, you know, you were a surgeon at that point. I mean, what do we need IT guys now to come in and save the day and stop us from hackers? It is a whole new type of war that we would be fighting from being Hawkeye, the character that you played some, 35, 40 years ago.
This January will be the 39th anniversary of the final episode. So it began almost 50 years ago.
And then
it's a long time.
Yeah, man, time does fly. And let's go way back to when you attended Fordham University in the Bronx. I mean, this is an institution that has alums that are senators, cardinals of the Catholic Church, directors of the CIA, and of course, the school that Hawkeye from MASH went to. Talk about what makes this place so special.
There are two campuses for Fordham. One is up in the Bronx, which is a traditional old university with beautiful buildings. And there's one down in the city by Lincoln Center. And I went to the one up in the Bronx. And it was a really great time because they let me go to France for my junior year. They actually were surprised that I was doing as well as I was doing in my classes because in the entrance exams where they try to decide what you fit for and what classes you should be in, I had been up all night, and I fell asleep on my exam papers, so they weren't sure I could actually speak English.
I heard you had your own radio show while you were in college, correct?
I did. That was a wonderful opportunity. I wrote a radio show. I hosted a show where we played show tunes, and I love radio. Isn't it fun to do radio?
It is.
And you're at the microphone, and you know that there are all these people out there at the other end of the microphone. You don't know exactly who they are. It's a test of communication because you have to be interested in something, and that'll probably get them interested, too. There's always somebody listening. That's the interesting part.
Your podcast, very interesting. Clear and Vivid podcast. You can hear Max Brooks, Mel Brooks, talking science as well. Some very interesting conversation. I'd love to play a game with you where we just, you know, if you could say if this is actually true or not, as I did some research about you, I want to see if this stuff is really the correct story. So I read here that MASH was one of the first network series to feature some nudity on network television, and they say notably Hawkeye and the Dear Dad episode. Is it true that you are one of the first guys to get naked on network TV?
I don't think so. I don't think I ever was naked.
Well, maybe like partial.
There was one show where it appeared that I was walking through the compound wearing nothing but my boots, but there would always be something in the way where you couldn't see that I was actually naked. And in fact, I wasn't naked. I probably had on a bathing suit or something.
Is it true that you were considering running for a Senate seat at one point?
No, I never did. But a couple of times, people came to the set from New Jersey and actually suggested, actually suggested that I run for the Senate, the Senate or the House. And I said I wouldn't be any good at it. I'm not a politician. I'm an artist, and I want to be an artist. What makes you think I'd be any good at it? And they said, well, the main thing is we could get you elected. And I thought, if that's how they choose politicians, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, I don't want no part of that, huh? You keep debunking all these rumors out here, so that's very good. How about this one? Is it true that you commuted from L.A. to New Jersey on the weekends for 11 straight years? You flew from one coast to the next to play the role of Hawkeye.
Almost true. I only did it for about 4 years. And only about 4 months out of the year, because my family and I were able to be together for the rest of the year. They came out during the summer while we were shooting, and the show ended its shooting schedule in January. So the fall and winter, part of the winter, I would go back anytime I had 2 days off. So 1 week I actually flew home 3 times, because it meant a lot to me not to be too separate. Our kids were just entering their teens, and they were developing a life of their own. And I didn't want to take them out of that and make them start off in new schools. So I did the traveling, and it worked out well.
Well, make sure you check out alanalda.com, the 6-time Emmy Award winner, Golden Globe Award winner, and has a fantastic podcast called Clear and Vivid. He's going to have the great Mel Brooks on. You can listen to the interview with Max Brooks. Have a Merry Christmas, Alan, and goodbye, farewell, and amen.
Thank you, Gentry. Good talking with you.